And it's just been a lot of fun getting to know Natish. And I keep asking, okay, what do you do about this? And what do you do about that? And it was his birthday, and he said they would share that with family. They would have cake. And so he had some Indian friends who work at OC and go to school at OC. They got with him yesterday and shared a little bit of time with him. So it was good. Hey, Natish, do you have any more of these anywhere? If anyone didn't get a bag of M&Ms and you'd like one, it's really going to help with the lesson. Yeah, so Natish, if you don't mind just wandering around, anybody who wants a bag of M&Ms, just raise your hand. And Natish has a bunch there. And he has plain, and he has peanut. Some of you I know are kind of the peanut types, and some of you are the plain types. And so what we're going to talk about today is the ministry and message of reconciliation. Guys, we're going to be looking at the book of 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, we'll be just really reading a lot of scripture this morning, looking at a lot of the text there. So if you remember, the church in Corinth had a lot of drama, didn't they? A lot of drama, a lot of difficulty, had a lot of challenges. Paul wrote them. And it was a community that was plagued by sexual immorality and by all sorts of sin. There were at least, guys, do you know this? There were at least 12 temples to idols in Corinth. What was the most famous temple there? To Aphrodite, the goddess of love. And it was not a good place to be. A lot of sexual immorality. So people would go there to worship by committing sexual sins. And Paul has gone into that city. He's preached the gospel. He's taught people. And there's just a multitude of sins there. They're plagued by division. You remember chapter 1? Division. They were plagued by taking each other to court. There were misunderstandings about spiritual gifts. Some wanted to dominate the people. There were questions about the resurrection. That's 1 Corinthians. You remember that? All those things Paul deals with there. So now then, Paul, he is coming back and writing them a second letter after he's already written them the first letter. And he's trying to talk about some other things that he hopes that they will learn. Guys, I wish we could do all this. Some people say 2 Corinthians. Paul is kind of defending himself and defending what work he is doing and trying to help them to get to see what they should be doing as Christian people. Again, a young church, a church with a lot of challenges. And so we're going to look beginning in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I wish we could kind of do the whole book, but wow, we can't get it all in. But we'll do some big chunks here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Everybody with me? 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Paul says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ." Guys, how many of you feel like you're always being led in triumphal procession? Sometimes maybe we don't feel that way, do we? We're being attacked, we're being hit. And so Paul says, Christ is always leading us in a triumphal procession. He's won the fight, he's won the battle, and he's trying to lead us in triumph. And then he says, through us, he spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Kids, how many of you smelled one of these this morning? I took it around and let some of the kids smell. And this, guys, is, I said to Nancy, what's your favorite smelling oil that you have? She said, this one is it. And this one is an orange oil. You open the bottle, smells like you're about to eat an orange. Christ is spreading the fragrance of him through us. Through us, guys. So when we go somewhere, what are people smelling about Christ? What do they smell? I have this other one, which is called Five Oils. I stick this under my nose. It opens my nasal passages. Doesn't smell quite as good as the orange one, but it has a fragrance to it. And Paul says, guys, through us, Christ is spreading his fragrance. Some people will only meet Christ through you or through me. That they're not going to read the Bible. They're not going to come to church unless they meet us. And there's something about us that has a fragrance that helps them want to come to know Christ. I think I've told you about our daughter Heidi. One day she came home from school and said, I met this new friend at school. And she's beautiful, she's cute, she's attractive, she's smart, she's a good singer. And all the girls hate her. All the girls are jealous. We said, what about you, Heidi? She's going to become my friend. 6 months later, Elizabeth was a Christian, was part of our family. Why? Through Heidi, the fragrance of Christ was spread. So Paul says, through us, this fragrance of the knowledge of him goes, we are to God, I'm in verse 15 of chapter 2, we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are perishing, being saved, and those who are perishing. To one, it's the smell of death. To other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Are any of us equal to the task God has given us to spread the fragrance of Christ everywhere? We're not really equal to that. Only through God's power and walking through the power of His Spirit can we do what He wants us to do. I certainly don't feel equal to the task. Do you? But through God's power, we can live as He wants us to. And then He says, unlike so many, we're not peddling the word of God for profit. On contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like people sent from God. Guys, we're not trying to trick anyone. We're not trying to fool anybody. We're trying to live godly lives, and sometimes we'll make mistakes. We acknowledge that and we go on. But, okay, we remember the old play, Oklahoma? The peddler man came into town. You couldn't trust anything he said, could you? He was trying to trick people into buying his wares. That's not us. We're not peddlers. We are speaking through sincerity and through truth. I'd like to get you to look at chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. He says, you are a letter from Christ. Guys, I got this letter yesterday. You are a letter from Christ. I got this one. I haven't opened it yet because I think it says, a bill is enclosed. Well, some of us get letters we like. I got one from Heidi when Nancy came back from visiting her in Hawaii. Heidi sent her old dad a letter. And I read the letter, and it was very beautiful. Very beautiful. And it was one directed to me. But he says here, you show you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. People read our lives every day, don't they? They read our lives every day, and they see how we're living, what drives us, what moves us, and then they learn more, hopefully, about Christ. And if you look at verse 5, he says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Paul keeps coming back and saying, guys, we can't do it on our own. And when people read that letter, your life, it will be hopefully a letter that will make them want to know more about Christ. And we can't do it on our own, but it's only through the power of God. I'm going to move on to chapter 4, verse 1. Since we, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Oh boy, sometimes it gets discouraging, doesn't it? Sometimes things can happen that will keep us from keeping our motivation in Christ. And he says, just remember, through God's mercy, we have this ministry of spreading the fragrance of Him everywhere, of being that letter that's known and read by all, so we don't lose heart. Because we realize it's a ministry from Christ. Guys, verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Guys, this is kind of like jars of clay in our society today. This right here. Whenever they do archaeological digs, what is the most common thing that they find?
Pottery.
Jars of clay. Why? It was cheap, it was dispensable, and it was readily available. If people go through our garbage pits, what do they find? A lot of plastic. It's disposable. Jars. Guys, what does Paul say? We have this treasure the message of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. And it's just in pieces like this that people would say they're not worth a lot. They're kind of disposable. But God is using us, jars of clay, pieces of plastic, disposable things, to spread his message to other people. And guys, sometimes, how is God's message best known? Through our weakness and us depending on God, then his strength is shown. Again, I'm kind of thinking about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and he asked the Lord 3 times, take it away. And what does God say? My grace is sufficient for you. And people know more about you because you're through your weakness, then my grace is shown to people. Chapter 4, verse 5, we're not preaching ourselves, but we're preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I'm going to go on, guys, to chapter 4, verse 16. We do not lose heart. A couple of times he said that. Don't lose heart. We're not looking at the temporary things, but what do we look at? The eternal, the things that last. We keep looking at those things. Verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So guys, we continue putting our minds and looking to the things that last, that are eternal, not just the temporary things. Chapter 5, verse 10, while there's so much more I'd like to do in this other section, but chapter 5, verse 10 reminds us, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Each one of us will stand before God, and each one of us will give an account of what we've done, whether good or bad. Everybody will. And so because of that, Paul reminds us then in chapter 5:11, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade people. I don't want this to be said in a bad way, but when is the last time you tried to persuade someone to follow Christ? Paul has just said in chapter 5:10, we all, everybody on earth, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the very next thing he points to is, since we know what it is to fear God, we try to persuade people. So guys, I just want to encourage you, you don't have to be a fighter. You don't have to fight anybody. You don't have to be mean with anybody. But I'd like to encourage us to think about, are we persuading people to follow Christ? Natisha and I were sitting at lunch in the cafeteria a week or two ago. And this boy asked me a question, didn't he, Natisha, about some things that I was teaching about. So we spent a little bit of trying to explain and persuade about following Christ. I have the opportunity. We have half of our student body are not members of the Churches of Christ. Probably a quarter of our student body at OC have very little, if any, religious background. Some of my students, I've told you before, have never opened the Bible and read a word out of the Bible. Isn't that crazy? So what do we try to do? We try to persuade them. We don't try to academic them to death. That's not going to do it. We do try to explain God's word and help them learn more about Jesus, to persuade them to follow Christ, because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul goes on and says in chapter 5, verse 14, Christ's love compels us. We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Who are you living for, guys? Paul says we're no longer living for ourselves. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the one who died for me and gave himself for me. We're not living for ourselves any longer. And guys, that's a real challenge for us today. It's a challenge for me, I'll say. Let me just come back to it. It's a challenge for me. You may have this one down really well. But Paul says the things that once were big for us in the book of Philippians, they're not so big for me anymore. The things of Christ have become major. And I'm living not just for what I want to do, but I'm living trying to think, how can I reach out and touch someone else's life for Christ? How can I impact someone for Christ? What can I do? We're no longer living for ourselves, and Christ's love is compelling us. Look at verse 16, very challenging verse in this section. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Is that a hard passage? We don't look at anyone from a worldly point of view any longer. You know, within probably about 3 to 5 seconds within meeting someone, we have formed an opinion of them. Is that right? We often form opinions very quickly. And Paul is saying, be careful about just looking at worldly things. To my regret, I have often looked at someone and said, they would never follow Christ. And later they become a Christian. I was looking at them from a worldly point of view. When Heath came back here, when we came back and Heath came and started doing some things we weren't particularly fond of, he was growing his hair longer than we wanted. He was doing some other things. There were a number of people that regarded him just from a worldly, from an outside point of view. We had some parents at another place tell their kids in church to stay away from him. What did our son need? Christian kids close to him. What were the parents doing? Looking from a worldly point of view and saying, stay away. Because they were just looking from the worldly point of view. We're not looking at skin color. We're not hearing accents. We're not worried about whether they make more or less money than I do. I don't care what part of town they live in. I don't care where they work. I'm wanting everyone to come to know Christ, because I know we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday. And we're going to give account of what we lived in. And if I can have an influence in that person's life, I want to do that. And again, guys, I'm talking to myself. It's hard to do that just like I would like to. Some of us, we look at and we make quick judgments. And Paul is saying, we're not going to do that any longer. And he says in verse 17, we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, guys. Verse 18, all of this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the what? What did he give us? The ministry of reconciliation. Hey, guys, you have M&Ms this morning. Why? We have the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? It's being involved in people's lives. It's sharing our lives with their lives so they can come to know Christ in some way. One of the things, I may have mentioned it before, wow, must have been in the 90s, mid-90s, when a couple started coming to our church. He was about 6'8". He was a psychiatrist, and his wife was, he was American, had moved to Australia. His wife was Aussie, and they had a bunch of kids. And they said, wow, we're just having so much trouble with their kids. They were raising one of her nephews. And Nancy said, I think it would probably help Scott and Julia if we had them in for dinner and we had Bible study on Tuesday nights. So we had them into our house, about 6 of them and 5 of us. And Nancy would cook a meal for them. Julia would bring food. And we would do that to try to share a ministry of reconciliation, especially with their children who are having lots of challenges. Their nephew, wow, he had had a rough life. His mom had had several different husbands. None had been very nice to him. Nancy said, I think he needs to see Christianity up close and personal. He would never say anything. He would just stand here like this. Kids would walk up, try to talk to him. That went on for maybe 6 months or a year. Finally, he began to look up. He began to talk. He began to share. He became a Christian. He married a Christian girl. They're raising a Christian family. And part of it was because a ministry of reconciliation. Do you think that was easy after our kids had been in school? We had been doing things all day, get food ready for them, prepare for it. There wasn't anything easy about that, but Nancy said, we need to do this. And guys, ministry. I'm thinking about Jesus Christ going to the home of Simon, Luke chapter 7, and there's a lady there. And you remember, everybody looks at that lady and kind of nobody even acknowledges her. And she comes, and what does she start doing to Jesus? Crying, wetting his feet with her tears. And Simon is appalled. Jesus is letting this woman, this sinful woman, touch him. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 44, Jesus says to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? It's kind of like Simon hadn't even seen her as a person. Jesus saw her as a person, saw her as someone who needed love, and he was practicing a ministry of reconciliation with this woman. Think about Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, Luke 9:51, Jesus resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem, and all the way there, he's ministering. Luke chapter 19, he comes into the city of Jericho, and there's the little guy in the tree. And Jesus said, hey, get out of that tree. You're coming home, or I'm coming to your house, and I'm going to eat with you. And Jesus practices a ministry of reconciliation. And in the end of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, the Son of Man came to do what? Seek and save that which was lost. Jesus is practicing the ministry of reconciliation, spending time with people. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners because he was practicing the ministry of reconciliation with them. Chapter 5, verse 18, it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Those of us who've been reconciled to God, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're involved in that process. The plastic, the disposable containers that we are, sometimes in people's view not worth much, he's giving us that ministry. The fragrance, he wants us to be spreading that aroma, that fragrance everywhere. That letter that I haven't opened yet, we're a letter that people are reading to see what Christ is about. That's part of practicing the ministry of reconciliation. And then in verse 19, he says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Do you have a package of M&Ms? Ministry and message. God has committed and given us the ministry, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Do you guys remember anything about bananas? When you see a banana today, you hear the word of God and you obey it. When you see M&Ms again, Halloween's coming soon, trick or treat, and you see M&Ms, what are you going to think? God has given me the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Well, what's the message of reconciliation, guys? You can go to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. Let's turn and we'll read that together. Romans 5, 6 through 8. Most of us probably have parts of that memorized. Romans 5, 6 through 8. You see that at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What is part of the message of reconciliation? We didn't deserve it, that God sent Jesus and he died for us so we could be reconciled to him. What we're just reading about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God reconciled us to himself through Christ. Christ gave himself to us. So, guys, the message, sometimes we share our own message. What has God done in my life? Students that I work with like to hear what God is doing in your life. That's not all that you do, but that can be part of the message of reconciliation. How many times did Paul share his conversion story in the book of Acts? Or how many times is it shared in the book of Acts? 3 times. 16, 22, and 26. And each of those times, we're told about Paul meeting the Lord, or the Lord meeting Paul on the way to Damascus, of what happened there, and how Paul's life was altered at that point. Ananias came and shared the gospel with him. He was baptized into Christ. That was part of the message of reconciliation. Paul said, look what's happened in my own life. You know, all of us have met people, and all of us in our own life, God has done things that have brought us closer to him. What is our story? And then what is the message from the Word of God? That Romans chapter 5, that story, or here in 2 Corinthians, what is that story? There's so many places we could go to, but learn an elevator pitch story that we can say quickly. You're on an elevator riding from the first floor to the 15th floor. What can you say quickly? And learn something you can share. God has committed to us the ministry, and he's given us the message of reconciliation. And we kind of keep working on that. And when I have students that talk to me, you know, I just say, my parents, my grandparents were Christians. My parents were Christians. None of them were perfect by any means. My mother, when I was probably about, I don't think I've ever, I haven't shared this hardly publicly with people. When I was about 11th grade, my mother quit going to church. Did any of you know that? Probably not. No. It was a weird time for our family. Very weird time for our family. She just quit going. Being an 11th grader, you know, you don't know what to say, what to do. My parents would be late occasionally. So I started walking to church. It's about a mile and a half, 2 miles. And I would just walk on Sunday morning. And I just said, I don't want to be late. I'm going to go. And my parents said, okay. I ran the 2 mile in high school. So walking 2 miles wasn't hard. But I would just go and leave early. And then I noticed my mother wasn't there. And that was kind of hard. But part of my story is I had to decide, what am I going to do? All of you have had to decide, what do I do with faith? Do I follow Jesus? Do I make it my own? Do I live for him? And we share that. That is part of the message of reconciliation. And part of the message is what God has done through Jesus Christ on the cross so our sins can be forgiven. Paul says, verse 20, we are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Using people like us. Isn't that crazy? That God would use people like us to make his appeal to other people. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Guys, there's so many places we could point to as well. Ephesians 2:8, we are saved by the grace of God. Nothing we can do. We can't earn it, but we're saved through his grace. So many places. So I'd like to encourage you today as we finish to remember, we're kind of just these worthless little pieces, but God has chosen to use us. Through us, he's wanting to spread the fragrance, the aroma everywhere. As people look at our lives, they're reading a letter from Christ. And he has given us the ministry and the message of reconciliation. And isn't it crazy that we are part of the process of helping reconcile people to God. God has done everything that needs to be done through Jesus, but we introduce them to what God has done and let God work in their lives to help them come to God and be reconciled to Him. Guys, next time you see an M&M, I hope it will encourage you to think, God has given even little old me, a part to be part of the ministry and then to be able to share the message of reconciliation with other people. Not for my own good, but so they can be reconciled to Jesus Christ, so they can be saved and live with Him eternally. Wow. What a responsibility, but what an honor that God has given us that. So guys, thank you for your good attention this morning. And I just want to say, I know that all of us just want to be used by God. And we will be looking for people that we meet at the grocery store. Natish has been kind of surprised at me, at the people I talk to, right, Natish? He kind of looks at me and says, what do you know? And I just talk to people. Why? Trying to connect. You're trying to connect. You're trying to extend a conversation. And then you're trying to get it to the point where you can say something about God to help that person to think a little bit about their relationship with Him and maybe build that relationship more so you can help them come to know the one who can save them from their sins and save them eternally. If anyone needs to come and be baptized into Christ this morning, we would like for you to be reconciled to God. And everything has been done for you through Jesus Christ dying on the cross so that your sins can be forgiven. We'd ask you to come in faith, confess your sins, turn from your sins, be baptized into Christ to begin walking that new life with Him. If there's anything we can pray for you about this morning, we'd be happy to do that. Anyway, the church can help you spiritually. Please let us know. Let's stand together and sing this song. If we can help you, come let us know.